Too oftentimes, too many people tend to think that God had locked himself behind closed doors and we only come to him when we need him, huh? And somehow we're supposed to have faith because of duty, of responsibility, or of what is asked of us, right? But today, first reading from the book of Genesis show that very intimate, affectionate, compassionate, and merciful side of God that each and every one of us can experience in our own life, my brothers and sisters. God is not out there in order to somehow destroy us or somehow make our life miserable or like the boogeyman who kind of show up whenever we screw up and said, "Aha, I got you." That's not God. The Lord himself, especially when we read the Old Testament, and then we see all the capital light word, L-O-R-D, Lord. It actually, the very intimate name of God himself, the name that will not be repeated by the Jewish people because it's so sacred, huh? The name of the Tetragrammaton, which God showed himself to be, I am who am. He's always there with us. And throughout our whole life, we can experience this mercy and forgiveness. Because God did not take joy when we sin, did not take joy when we make mistakes, did not take joy whenever he see people suffer. But remember, God is not someone that we should abuse, right? He is both just and merciful. So that we shouldn't abuse his mercy. We shouldn't abuse his love for us, right? It's not an either or. He is both just and merciful. So therefore, don't go on the extreme side of thinking that, oh no, I cannot screw up, I cannot mess up, or else he will punish me at all costs. Or the other side in saying, oh no, he's so merciful, I can do whatever I want, right? The fear of the Lord, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, reminds us that we should check our life and seek conversion. And if we have strayed away from him, we need to return back because we're fearful of losing that friendship with the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not a negative fear, but a positive fear that's based on love, that's based on that relationship of knowing who he is for us. My brothers and sisters, I truly believe this, how merciful and compassionate God has been for me in my own life. I would not be here today if he is not patient, is not loving, and had not been forgiving in my own life, my brothers and sisters. So therefore, if he had given us his mercy and had forgiven us of all of our transgression, the second letter from St. Paul to the Colossians remind us that we need to live a new life with Christ because he had sent Christ at the true expression of his love for us so that Christ lived like us in all things but sin and to spread out his arm to die for us even when we were still far away from him, even when we're still sinners, huh? So that we can be free to live as his children, as disciples, and as instruments of the Holy Spirit. I deal with a lot of people who not only have PTSD, but also have moral injury. And people who tend to have moral injury think that their sins cannot be forgiven by God. Because somehow they caused that to happen, they should bear that sin for the rest of their life. And any bad thing that happened to them, they can retrace back to that mistake. That God somehow is that same boogeyman or that same punisher, per se, waiting for them to make a mistake and say, "Da, I got you again. I got you again. I know that you're going to fail, just like you have failed in the past." They bear this hurtful shame that they have created for themselves, and this shame is eating them alive with guilt and with this subconscious pain that hold them down. But my brothers and sisters, life is messy and we make mistakes, right? A few months ago, I talked about how messy life can be on the tactical level, on the everyday level. And of course, even on the operational level, we might make mistakes. We might commit things that really hurt our soul and our relationship with God. But if we come to Him and ask Him for His forgiveness, He will. He will. Because He wants us to seek conversion. He wants to give us new life. He wants us to truly have that freedom to live in Him, with Him, and for Him. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, don't lose heart. Especially those who are injured morally. Those who are still struggling with their sins. Those who are still trying to better themselves from daily habitual sins to a new life of grace. Don't give up. Be humble. Seek Him always, my brothers and sisters. So, which lead me toward the gospel reading today. Do you truly believe that what you ask of God, He will give to you and I? Remember what He said. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. My brothers and sisters, ask, but don't demand. Ask with a childlike heart instead of a childish tantrum, right? Ask and trust. Seek Him and we will find His will, His love, His faithfulness. Knock and He will be present to us at each and every prayer. He's really only a prayer away. All of this is in the invitation of trust. Do you and I trust that God will our good much more than what we want? Too often time when we do not get what we want, we think somehow God is against us. And for the people who bought into the prosperity gospel, this is really a struggle. Because they hear all these positive messages and say that, oh no, if we've done everything that's good, how come God is not somehow answering our prayers back? Somehow I must be doing something wrong if I continue to suffer or I continue to feel pain and don't get what I want. I must be doing something wrong. Again, life is messy. We can make mistakes, but God strategically willed our good, because our final destination, our final destiny, is actually the heavenly homeland. He will listen to all of our prayers, what we ask, what we seek, and what we truly open ourselves to. He does. And I'll end my homily today by sharing with you my own stories when my first real crisis of faith that I had as an adult that really shaken me. After I graduated high school from Wichita, Kansas, I went down to Texas to join the Vietnamese Redemptorists, and I was with them for 5 years. And I thought, personally thought, that I was going to be a Redemptorist forever. I was going to die a Redemptorist. I was so looking forward to wear that habit and to be called a brother, right? So that's what my life, my hope, my dream for the longest time. And when I was about to finish my novitiate, and through the discernment of my novice master, he told me that, "Coy, I think you have the vocation as a diocesan priest." That really hurts me. I heard that as a rejection. What? I have worked so hard for this. I want this so much. What am I doing that's wrong? Why? I was really hurt. But I trust my novice master enough because I have shared with him my inner struggle and desire and prayer life. I know that this man really care for me, and he has his best for me, and he tried to seek the will of God for me. So I listened to him and went home. I was so heartbroken. I was so heartbroken that I stopped praying, that toward the point that I told God, "Fine, if you lead me out of the Redemptorist and you want me to be a diocesan priest, then lead me into the diocese then." And I chose to remain in Texas. And between the Diocese of Dallas and Fort Worth, I knew Dallas much better because the Redemptorists were working over at Dallas, right? And then the Diocese of Fort Worth, which I knew nothing about, right? And so I said, "Fine, I'm going to give both of them a try. Since you're so good leading me out of this vocation that I've worked so hard for, then you have to lead me into something new." So I put an official inquiry with both dioceses. And I said, "Okay, fine. Whoever called me first, I'm going to join." And guess what? The vocation director of the Diocese of Fort Worth, Father Kyle Waterscheid, at that time, immediately called me very quickly. And we talked about it, and we discerned about it, and I think less than 60 days, I was able to join the Diocese of Fort Worth, the diocese that I really knew nothing about, the diocese that I belong now, as a priest, that my civilian diocese. And to think of it all, even through the hurts, even through the resistance, even through the temperament, even through all those things that had happened to me, there were times that I came to God during that crisis that I just said, "Fine, I'm just going to keep my prayer, but I cannot really pray right now because you really hurt me by your decision." But looking back, where I am today as a military priest, how I get the opportunity to serve in the Air Force and support the Space Force because I am a diocesan priest for the Diocese of Fort Worth. You see, I wouldn't be here today if God didn't allow that to happen. I wouldn't be here today if I did not have to lead the Redemptorist and become a diocesan seminarian and now a priest. God sometimes pull us out of our comfort zone, but he does listen. He does care for us. And his way for us is much more than what we can comprehend at times. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, whether you're suffering from moral injury, thinking that your sins cannot be forgiven, or if you're stuck in that understanding that somehow God is not responding to my prayers, something is wrong with me, then we need to ask ourselves this: do I trust Him enough to abandon myself to Him with childlike faith, even when I don't get what I want, knowing that He truly cared for me, and He loved me, and He willed my redemption, my salvation, my happiness, my ultimate destination, and final destiny with Him, which is the heavenly homeland. My brothers and sisters, that's my encouragement for you today. I shared with you my own struggle, my own journey, so that you can find His love, His presence for you in your own as well.